Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you, our Lord, our Savior. Lord, even today as we have gathered in your house, we know your presence is with us. So we thank you for inviting us to be with you, Lord. We come with various needs and various desires and, Lord, various hurts. And you know each and every one of these. And Lord, we lift up to you those hurts, those needs, even those desires. We lift them to you. Pray, God, that you would minister to those who are affected in some way today. And that's all of us, God. That you just minister to us. Father, you'd minister to us. May it be even our own arms that minister to each other, as you have said in Scripture. Whether it be here on Sunday morning or even through our fish program or the various different things that occur, God, throughout the week. Pray, God, that we would minister to one another. We think, Lord, of Bonnie Koosh, whose leg is severely swollen, her ankle. And God, we pray for her that you would just touch her and make her well. Lord, be with the doctors as they treat her. We pray that same for Henry and Ruth and Herb and Lenore and Lori and Connie and Megan. God, we lift them to you and pray, God, that you would just be very real and close presence to them and to their family, each of their family members. Lord, we praise you for all the blessings that you bestow on each of us. And Lord, as we move forward in obedience and surrender, may we do that, God. May we not just say it, but may we truly surrender to you. Lord, we pray that as we look to the summer, we pray for our camping programs and those directors who are already in the planning stages, Lord. Beyond that, they're in the registration time. And God, we pray that you would give to them wisdom and give safety this summer. And we pray for us as a church that, Lord, you would protect us from the evil one, that you would give to us your peace, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would just fill each of us so that we can worship you now in your word, in spirit, and in truth. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you, worship team. It's great. I want to talk to you a bit about love this morning. I'll try my best to make this brief, but I probably won't be able to achieve that. I will try. I want to start by telling you about Benjamin Kobolsky. Any of you heard of him? Okay. All right. Well, Benjamin, he went into a flower shop one day and he saw this young lady by the name of Mary. And Mary was looking, of course, to purchase something, and Benjamin was eyeing her, and he noticed that she had picked up some potted mums and was going to purchase them. But she was eyeing these roses, and you couldn't help but see that she was just loved these roses. But the price tag was a little high, obviously, and so she never purchased the roses. She only purchased the potted mums. And she left the store, and Benjamin went over, and he said to the sales clerk, listen, that young lady there, I want to send a dozen of those roses that she admired to her home. And it was great, because the store clerk, of course, had all the information on the sheet, and sent these roses to her home, not knowing where they came from. They were simply signed Ben. Isn't that, you're all going, aw. You wives are nudging your hubbies right now. I see it. It gets better. Not only did Ben order a dozen roses, he ordered one single rose to be delivered to Mary every day. Isn't that sickening? And I tell you, Ben courted Mary with a single rose daily, and he won her heart in marriage. Yeah, makes you wonder, doesn't it? Today I want to talk to you about love. Oh, man, love is something that has been known to produce broken hearts and goosebumps, loss of appetite, and starry eyes. I know you parents are worried when you heard the word loss of appetite. But it has inspired some to die, even others to kill. Love may make the world go round, but it certainly causes a lot of confusion in the process. I want to talk about love. We started this series, Galatians 5:22, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And so today I want to concentrate on the love lemon, because, you know, lemon is a fruit. And I thought it just fit appropriate with the L, and I love alliteration, so it went together. Lemon has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today, but no, it does. You can either be a sourpuss all your life, or you can truly love. And that's what we're going to talk about. There's some misconceptions about love, first of all. I want to get this out of the way. That, first of all, we seem to think that love is only a feeling. That it's a lot of people think that love is some kind of an emotion. It's a knot in your stomach, or it's a certain kind of physical feeling that you have. Oh, I love her, you know. We're always searching for that feeling, that because some of us think that's all that it is. It's, oh, you know, it's right in there. That's a misconception. Love, we often, love is uncontrollable. You know, when people talk about being in love, they say, I feel giddy, my head's spinning, I'm weak in my knees, you know. I mean, we think love's uncontrollable, you can't help it. I fell in love, it just hit me like, you know. And that's wrong. So, it's something that we think it's something that we cannot change, but that's wrong. Somebody said that we need a higher quality of love. I believe that, a higher level of loving, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Because, you see, puppy love doesn't last through the dog's days of life. Well, that's good. I got to write that down. Dog's days of life. Okay, thank you. Now listen to that. Thank you. If I knew how to do that, I would. I'm going to talk today, we're going to look at love that will really make a difference in our life, in our relationships, in our marriage, in our working relationships. I want to give you a process to practice in order to love properly, all right? Process to practice in order to love properly. And I'm going to try and do this, get this done. First of all, you got to ask what love is. You got to ask what love is. See, love is a matter of choice. You know, that looks good. Those lemons look pretty good up there. Love is a matter of choice. You got to think, Colossians 3:14 says, and over all virtues, put on love, which binds them all together. We got to put on love. It's not something we're a victim of. It's something we choose. Colossians 3:14. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Put it on. Now Paul wouldn't have asked us to put on something that you cannot control. It's like, okay, when you wake up in the morning, you put on socks, right? Now, you can choose what kind of socks you put on, right? You know, your wife might set out your hot pink ones. But you might choose the bright yellow, you know? Paul wouldn't have asked us to put on something that you cannot control, that you can only feel. He says, put it on. Well, love's not only a matter of choice, but love is a matter of conduct. It's a matter of conduct. Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth, 1 John 3 says. It's more than what we say. It's a behavior. And in this passage, John was telling us to back up our love with our actions. The guy was always telling his girlfriend, oh, honey, I would die for you. She said, oh, you're always telling me that. You never do it. Wife comes to her husband and says, you're always watching the football game. You must love football more than me. And he says, yeah, I do, honey, but I love you more than basketball. You know? Now, we not only need to define love, we need to act like love acts. And we're going to get into this love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. I invite you to turn there to 1 Corinthians 13. And as we look at a process to practice in order to love properly, you need to ask what love is. You also have to act like love acts. Love acts properly when it is patient. If you look at this 1 Corinthians 13 passage and you look at verse 4, it starts out how? It says, love is, my patience were thin at that point. I was waiting for you. Love is patient. Ephesians 4 says, be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. He says to make allowance for one another's fault because we love that person. We know what it's like in a relationship to turn the other cheek, to go the second mile, to be patient with our loved ones. Patience isn't always easy for us. Well, it isn't for me. Very difficult for me sometimes. C.S. Lewis said it well, said that to love at all is to be vulnerable. He said, love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to be sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken, but it will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven where you can be safe from all dangers of love is hell, said C.S. Lewis. Wow. You know what I do when I have a hard time being patient with somebody? Probably the best thing for me is to constantly remember God's incredible patience with me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think of that. While we are unloving and unwilling, he was willing to wait on us. When we think of the patience of God, it helps us to be patient with others. Remember, last week I said that all the 9 qualities of the fruit of the Spirit are seen in the character of God. The first thing we understand biblically is love is patient. Well, love acts properly when it's patient, when it's caring. If you look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, it's caring. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? But it's often easier to be kind to a stranger than it is to be kind to the people we're closest to, those who love us the most. It's sometimes easier to be kind to a neighbor than kind to our own spouse. Kindness, it's very difficult for some people to express, to be caring. I think something interesting in the last 10 to 15 years has been a major increase in greeting cards. I mean, greeting card, boom, they're out. Christmas card, birthday cards, get well cards. I think sometimes we buy cards for one another because it says exactly what we really want to say. I love especially humorous cards. I know you might find that kind of, but we were looking for cards and I saw one that said this. I thought it kind of fit in here in the sermon saying I had to find a spot for it. But if I had an ice cream cone, I'd give you half. If I had 6 candles, you get 3. If I had 2 apples, one would be yours. If I won the lottery, I'd send you a postcard. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you. The only way I can have a relationship with anyone is to have forgiveness at the very core of that relationship. That relationship is going to grow and it's going to develop and not based on perfection. We can't be perfect. It's going to blossom through the willingness of each person to be forgiving. Paul said, forgive others as you've been forgiven by God. When I see how God forgave me, I have the power, the ability to forgive other people. Did you hear me? I believe that when we have difficulty in forgiving others, we just don't understand biblically what's been done for us. Because the moment that we understand what has been done for us, it changes our whole view of forgiving one another. It does. Mother Teresa, she said it well when she said, the biggest disease today is not leprosy or tuberculosis, but rather the feeling of being unwanted, uncared for, and lonely. There are a lot of lonely people, a lot of hurting people, a lot of people who are just waiting to be forgiven and loved and cared for. Love acts properly when it's patient, when it's caring, and when it's secure. It goes on, that verse, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. Security truly is the key to relationships, any kind of relationship. You show me a good relationship, whether it's marriage or it's a friendship, I'll show you that at the very heart of that relationship is security. You can just lay it on the line and be who you are, knowing that the other person has your interests at heart. You get down, you can get down to issues, real issues, but not in a revengeful, bitter way. You can be secure. I love the story about the guy who was getting ready to propose to his girlfriend. You've probably heard that. He had his ring in his hand and he was holding her hand. You know, moon was just right. There's that moon in there. Said, sweetheart, I want you to marry me. Said, I don't have a car like Johnny Green. I don't have a yacht like him. I don't have a house his size. I don't have the money of Johnny Green. But I want you to know that I will love you with all of my heart. She looked in his eyes. The moon was glistening in them. She said, I want you to know I love you too. But could you tell me a little bit more about Johnny Green? You show me people in a relationship who can't talk about real issues, aren't able to look at each other with honesty and integrity, I'll show you a relationship that lacks security. Security. I like what Dr. John Maxwell says. He explains, he says, envy plus boasting plus pride only equals insecurity. We need to be secure in our relationships. We need to be real. We need to be who we are created to be. Amen? See, when you add it all up, love acts properly when it is patient, when it is caring, when it is secure. That's love. Quality of the fruit of the Spirit. Something we are to strive for, something we are to portray to the world. See, that's why Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. That's why he said that. He didn't just tell us to just love one another. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Major difference. If we love one another as Christ loved us, I mean, you think of the cross. Go back to the cross. Jesus dying on the cross, the whole world gets a picture of God loving, loving, loving. Not just nice people. It's not a picture of God just wondering, oh, how are we going to do it? Of God just loving his friends. It's a picture of God loving people who were very unlovable. You think about it. The Jews could hardly wait to get rid of him. They plotted for months. Pilate, he just wanted to get him off his hands. Their hatred for Christ was so intense that they were willing to release a well-known common criminal from prison to get to Jesus. I mean, when I think the Lord died for me, it wasn't in a nice little church service, you know, where everybody was singing and holding hands and singing Kumbaya, Lord. No. They hated his guts. They despised him. They spit on him. They rejected him. They cursed him. They could hardly wait to see him die. And with great joy, they watched. They watched him die. And as he was dying, he cried out, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That's the Jesus who says, "Love one another as I have loved you." That's major, isn't it? That means we're to love people who don't even love us. That means we're not allowed to let how they respond or act affect us in any way. He really does mean walk the second mile. He means turn the other cheek, doesn't he? That's loving properly. There's some things I've learned about loving. I hope I've learned these. Still learning. You gotta love people now. Don't wait. I think we wait too long to really express our care and our patience and our security with other people. If you love somebody, you need to tell them today. Maybe you need to go home and get on the phone. I don't know. Maybe you need to make a call and start going through your list and saying, "Hey, I want to talk to you. Mom, it's Devin. Devin Seegers, your son, you know. My mom and dad are here this morning, and that just happened to me yesterday." No, I'm just joking. Just get on the phone and start doing some calls. The best thing you can do on a sunny afternoon is not just nap, but doing some phoning or writing some letters or putting some notes down and doing a card. I don't know. But let people know you love them now. Don't wait. Don't put it off any longer. I've also learned that when you love, you become vulnerable. If I choose to love, I open myself up. I know that. I can either just withdraw or I can just let myself be open. And when you open your arms and let people come in, you not only receive incredible affirmation, but you're an open book. And you could feel it sometimes some hurt and betrayal. But that's the risk we take with loving. Third thing is love is extremely powerful. And I know that because the greatest commandment in Scripture is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love your neighbors yourself. God knew what love could do. It's powerful. Love is also unconditional. If love should be what it should, it's always unconditional. In fact, I found that people normally need to be loved most when they deserve it the least. Unconditional love. Remember Benjamin Kobolsky? Do you remember the story? How many of you know Benjamin Kobolsky? It was at the beginning. Met Mary, did it? How many? Mary? Okay. It's a few of you. The roses. It was a long, long time ago. I'm doing not bad. Benjamin had a little concession in his will. To have a single rose delivered to his wife, Mary, for the remaining days of her life. Because all through the married life, Mary always got one single rose. And so when Ben passed away, he made concessions for her to receive a single rose every day of her life. And all of us know him, most of us. His real name is Jack Benny. And now you know why he chose for his theme song, "Love in Bloom." That's loving, isn't it? Yeah, it is. But don't get caught up in the rose thing. And we're not going to sing "Love in Bloom" every Sunday. Come on. But I want to tell you something about the spirit of love. The spirit of love has to be expressed. It can never be experienced until it's expressed. That's the way worship is, by the way. Worship cannot be experienced unless it's expressed. The best things in life always have love wrapped around them. And so I challenge you, start expressing it. It will feel uncomfortable for a while, but that's okay. Force it, because as you force it, it will just start to be natural. And one day you'll be expressing love to someone, and all of a sudden you will say, what a great quality of fruit. I'm not handing out lemons anymore. Let's pray. Our eyes are closed, heads are bowed. And ask you, maybe this morning, you just need to say, Lord, I thank you that you taught us how to love sacrificially. Maybe for you today, you never really pictured that, but he said, love others as I have loved you. And that death on that cross was such a sacrificial picture of love. Maybe you never understood the need to love people now, or to love them unconditionally, or even to be vulnerable in your loving. Maybe you've never really understood the security that's found in loving others. Today, afresh with the Lord, maybe you need to say, Lord, I want to start loving other people. I want to start loving them now. I'm not going to wait anymore. I'm going to start loving them now. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, I want you, if you're saying to God, I want to start loving now, just lift your hand. Just lift it. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. God sees those hands. God sees them. Maybe today you're here and you've never heard about the power of the cross, that Jesus Christ loved you to die there. And you know, you've heard it. People have talked about Jesus. But you've never come to him and said, Lord Jesus, I want you to forgive me of all the bad stuff. I give you my life today because I want to be a Christian. If you never understood that, being a Christian is accepting Jesus. And so today, you know you need to accept him. You need to say, Lord Jesus, I want you in my heart. I want you in my heart today. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if you're saying to him today, Lord Jesus, I want you there. I want you in my heart. I want to be a Christian. Just lift your head up. Just lift your head up. Just lift your head. Lord bless. Father God, we have walked through a service that is just worship. We worship you. We want nothing more than for our agendas to just disappear. That our selfishness would not be there anymore. God, we just want to love you by loving others. We want to be patient. We want to be caring. We want security, God. May we not be proud. May we not be envious. May we just trust completely in you. God, help us to love the way you love us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I love you all. Worship team, please.